I'm Adam Tardif. I am 22 years old. It's Monday, March 11th, 2019, in Fort Myers, Florida, and I'm talking with my brother Ian and my grandma Ina.
My name is Ian Tardif. I'm 20 years old. It's Monday, March 11th, 2019. We're in Fort Myers, and I'm sitting here with my brother Adam and my grandma Ina.
I am Ina Goldberg. I am 81 years old. Today is Monday, March 11th, 2019. We're in Fort Myers, Florida. I'm sitting here with my two grandsons, Adam and Ian.
Grandma, what were your parents like, and where were they from? What did they do for a living?
My parents were very simple people. They were very kind, and they never let us want for anything. We thought we had everything, even though we didn't have a lot. My father was a furrier. He made fur coats. And my mother was a bookkeeper, and she worked in many different places doing the books for many people. What else did you ask?
Where were they from originally?
My parents were both Europeans. I am first-generation American. They were both born in Russia, Poland. My father came here in 1911. I think he was 9 years old. My mother came here in 1914, and she was 5 years old.
How did they come to America?
They came to America on ships from Europe with their parents, with their mothers. Their fathers had both been here before to make money to send for them, and they came into Ellis Island with their families, and their fathers, each of their fathers met them, and they brought them to their housing where they had an apartment. And my mother's family lived on the Lower East Side of New York for many years. I don't know where my father's parents lived when they came in, but they eventually lived in the Bronx. That's where I remember. My mother's parents eventually moved with their children to Brooklyn after being in the Lower East Side for 13 years.
So what was your family like as a child? What did you do for fun?
We lived in a one-bedroom apartment. That's where I grew up. And I had have a brother who was 5 years younger than me. His name is Gerald. We had a one-bedroom apartment, and we thought we had everything. We lived in a big apartment house, had lots of friends, went to school, walked to school, came home for lunch, walked back to school, and then we went by bus to school. We were both college graduates from Brooklyn College in Brooklyn, free tuition because we were smart and got good grades.
What was your first job?
My first job, okay, he has to talk to me. My first job was during the summer. I think I was, I don't know how old I was, but I worked for 2 months for my Uncle Dave, who had a textile business, and he let me come in, and he taught me how to use the switchboard. And it was a lot of fun because I used to hang up on a lot of people. I got $40 a week.
Do you know how your parents met?
My parents met on a blind date. My mother was out with somebody else, and my father was out by somebody else, and they were together on this date. And I met the guy that my mother had been out with. Many, many years afterwards when we found out that he lived right near me in Freehold. But my parents met. They switched and they met and they, I guess they fell in love. And they took a long time before they got married because my mother insisted on working and putting her three brothers through college before she would get married.
What was one of your fondest memories as a child?
As a child? One of my fondest memories, having a very happy family life. We had a big my mother had a big family. We were very close with them. She was one of seven children, and I had a lot of cousins, a good grandparents, and we celebrated all the holidays together. We were very, very close, and I'm close with whoever's left right now. Not too many people. What else?
And you had a death today.
Yes, I lost a cousin today who was like a sister to me. My mother's sister's daughter. She was 7 years older than me, but we lived near each other, and she and I and her brother and my brother were all very close for forever until she got Alzheimer's, and then we were not able to communicate much more. And today she passed away.
What's your first memory of meeting our grandfather, husband?
Well, my friend had met, my best friend had met someone who was in dental school, and his friend wanted to meet somebody because she lived near him, and he wanted to meet somebody that was walking distance so he didn't have to take transportation to go out on dates. And she had first introduced him to somebody that she knew, and he didn't care for her. So I was the second choice, and we met on a blind date in my friend's living room. And my first thing was he was too tall, and I knew he was going to be tall, so I wore very high heel shoes. But he was much taller than I thought, and I was afraid to get up out of the couch. And from there, we just hit it off, and we went together ever since.
What was the height difference?
He was 6'2", and I was 5'2".
Wow.
And that was a big difference. What else to say?
How old were you when you met?
Oh, my goodness, I don't remember. How old was I? In 1958, I was 20 years old when I met him.
Wow.
And he was 22. He was in dental school. He was in his first or second year of dental. I think he was in his first year of dental school. And so we went together for 2 years and got engaged. And then the year before he graduated, we got married.
And he was in the military, or he did dental work in the military, correct?
Yes, after he graduated from dental school, he had to go into the service, so he chose to go out west. And he was stationed in San Antonio, Texas, which was very different from where we lived. And we went there as two young people, not knowing anything. My first adventure was he went down before me for basic training to Montgomery, Alabama. And I had to go down by myself. A couple of months later when his basic training was finished. So my father put me on the train, Penn Station, with my suitcases, and that was during the Rosa Parks episode. And I went down on the train, and when I had to make a change of trains, there was the no blacks sign on the bathroom doors, and that made me feel very uncomfortable, and that was a very hard experience. And I got by the train to Montgomery, Alabama, which was completely different. We stayed there for, I think, 2 more weeks, and then we drove to San Antonio, Texas, where we spent 2 years in the Air Force, and I had my first baby after a year.
What was your initial thought when you knew you were going to be a mom?
Scared. I was quite scared because I knew how to take care of kids. I always watched little children, but just the experience of having my own was difficult. Didn't tell our parents until I was 6 months pregnant because we were going on a trip, and I knew my mother would say, "Don't go." And then when we told them, they only had 3 months to wait for the baby to be born.
Where were you going?
We were going to California to visit my husband's parents, not parents, relatives, mm-hmm. who I had never met. And it was going to be an adventure from Texas. We stopped at the Hoover Dam. We stopped at the Painted Forest. We stopped at a lot of places. And then we got there, and when we arrived at his mother's sister's house. And I'll never forget, she looked at me and she said, "You got very fat." Then she looked at me again and she says, "No, I think you're having a baby."
What are some of your proudest achievements?
The proudest achievements was having my two children and having my education and being a teacher for the many years that I did. I enjoyed teaching the students and my children and watching them grow, and then having the grandchildren that I have and watching them get pretty old while I'm still here to see it.
You can say you, they are right in front of you.
You. And I'm glad to see, I'm waiting, looking forward to seeing both graduate from college, as I saw you both graduate from high school, and I saw you both graduate from nursery school and all the other schools that I was able to see.
What was your first thought when you heard that your daughter, our mom, was having a baby?
Very excited. I was waiting a long time because all my friends had grandchildren, and I didn't know when I was going to be a grandma, but I was looking forward very, very much to have a grandchild. And when I knew she was pregnant with Adam, even though there were a lot of little issues, I was very happy. And when Adam was born, I was in Rome. But I had my reservations to go down and be there for when he was originally supposed to be born. So when I got down there, I enjoyed him for as long as I could. And I came every year for everything that I possibly could because I did not live in Florida.
Can you describe some of your favorite memories of us?
Oh, yeah. I would come all the time. And our biggest thing was reading books early in the morning. I would read the books to you. I'd read the books to Ian, Adam. And as you got older, when Adam was able to read the books, one day he said to me, "Grandma, I have a surprise for you." And he'd come in the bed and he'd have a pile of books. And he said, "I'm going to read to you today." And so he read to me. And we also, I had that with Ian too. When he started to read, I had the same thing. And they both always spent the time as much as I could when I came down to visit. And also I remember doing puzzles. We always did puzzles. That was the big thing. Start a big puzzle when I came, and by the time I left, the puzzle was finished. I would put the pieces in, and they would put the pieces in. You would put the pieces in. I forgot I'm talking to you.
Do you regret anything?
Well, not really regret. I'm sorry that I lost my husband so early in life, but I was able to recap and make a life for myself because I was still around and I had a lot of things to do.
Would you say that's the hardest thing you've ever had to go through?
I think so, because it's not expected for somebody to pass away so young.
Can you tell us what happened?
What happened? He got afflicted with cancer, and 3.5 years of treatments, all kinds of treatments we went through, and it was multiple myeloma, and it wasn't curable. It was only palliative treatment, and eventually he passed away.
Do you see things in your grandchildren that remind you of him?
Both Adam and Ian are his clones. They both have his everything that he did, even though they never met him. They're built like him. They talk like him. They act like him. Adam has his music ability and his photography, and Ian played the drums, and also has his look and his build. And I showed the pictures to some people who knew him, and they couldn't believe how much they both resembled him. I'm trying to think of anything else I can. Bring another question.
If you could, like, I don't know, this might be a hard question, but if you could, like, send him a message, like what would you want him to know?
What I want you to know was what you missed in all the years that you were gone. You missed the birth of your grandchildren, who never got to know you, but in a way, I think they do, because they're both just like you. And I'm enjoying them for both of us.
Is there anything that you'd like to say to us that you've never gotten a chance to before?
No, I'm very proud of both of you. I'm happy for what you're doing and what you always did. And I always loved you the whole time, and I tried to come down here so you would know who your grandmother really was. And you thought I lived in the airport.
I guess on that note, I know you like to travel. What's your favorite place that you've ever been? And what's somewhere that you haven't been that you want to go?
My favorite place, I always loved Italy the best. I like the food, I like the places there, and I've been there many times. Where I would like to go, I wanted to go to Australia, but I think I crossed it off my list because it's too far to fly.
So what was your and Grandpa's, like, favorite things to do?
Well, Grandpa loved music, which I didn't know anything about. And he loved jazz, he loved big band, he was a good dancer, and I certainly wasn't. And any time we went, he would just drag me around the floor, and I would follow him and try to dance. But our favorite thing was going out, doing things, staying at home with our children. We had two children. And we did a lot of things with them. We took them to the Garden State Art Center for music and Bolshoi. I remember Bolshoi Ballet. And we went on vacations. We spent time in Aruba all the time. We met nice people. We tried to travel or the Caribbean a lot. And we had great times and local trips to the States and out of... not out of the country, but to the Caribbean.
Went to Virginia every summer?
Yeah.
Virginia Beach?
Virginia Beach. We went to Myrtle Beach. We went to Wildwood. We went to... where else did we go? I don't know, but we went to summers. I don't know where else we went as a family. Oh, we went to Lake George, where we froze to death. And we always tried to go away in the summer and in the winter. And we always took you... children. We took you to Nassau. Do you remember Nassau? And we took them out at night, all dressed up, to the nightclub. She was a little kid. And we did. We took you wherever we went. We didn't really have anybody to leave you with. So we took my children with us.
Is there any general advice you'd like to give us as we continue our lives?
Yes. Make sure you follow what you want to do. You'll be successful if you put your mind to it and do what you love. And I hope you're successful and get jobs when you get out of school, because I know what it's like now to get jobs. And I'd like to see as much of your future as I can. Hopefully I will live long enough to see you married, maybe, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, but whatever. I'll enjoy whatever I get to participate in.
What's some advice you would give for raising children?
Oh, my God. I don't know, because I don't know if I raised them right either. No, just go with the flow. Let them be their own person. Don't expect too much that you want them to do. Let them have what they want to do, as long as it's within a reason. Have them work when they should, so that they have responsibility.
What was your first car?
Our first car was a Chevrolet, a royal blue Chevrolet that we purchased right before your grandpa went into the Air Force. We purchased it. Unfortunately, we didn't have air conditioning in it, and we were going to Texas. But we purchased it, and he was very proud of it. And he took three of his classmates down to Montgomery, Alabama with him in the car. And they, they went down there, and they had basic training down there. And then I met him, but one of the classmates, unbeknownst to me, when I moved into my new community and I was talking to some women at a pool one day, one of his classmates is her brother-in-law. And he was one of the guys that went down to Montgomery, Alabama with him. And I met his wife, and then one day I was at the Garden State Arts Center with my friend, and I looked and I said, gee, that's the lady who was married to Eddie, who was the guy that was, my husband's friend, because they were G in the alphabet and they were in the same class group. And I went over to him, and I was a shy person, but I went over to him and I said to him, I knew she was the girl, and I said, you Eddie Grossman? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I was Art Goldberg's wife. Oh, wow, I'm so glad to meet you. I heard that you live in the community. And it was very interesting meeting him. And he glorified my husband, told me all the good things about him, and that he went down to Montgomery with him, which I had known. And that was a good thing.
What was your favorite fashion statement throughout the years?
Fashion statement? I don't know. I was never a fashionista. Fashion with me is wear what you want to wear and don't worry about what they think of it.
I agree.
What about pets? Tell us about your pets.
Oh, I had pets. First, I was always afraid of dogs. But he had to have, when we went down to Texas, he had to have a dog. So we went and got a dog. We got a dog from, I don't remember, from somewhere. From somebody had dogs. We got a lovely little dog, and I got used to it. I loved it, and it was in the house all the time. And one day I went someplace. Maybe it was before I had my son, and he came home for lunch, and I wasn't home because I was out with the women. And he was playing with the dog in the backyard, and I don't know what happened. And after he left, the dog got out, and it got killed. That was my first dog. His name was Pepper. And after that, we ran to get a new dog, and we got Skippy, who was a beagle, a big beagle. And I got to love him, too. And he was our dog all until we went back to Brooklyn. And we had him in Brooklyn. We had him all. He lived 14 years. And then I had to get another one, so I got another beagle. And then I had Barney for 15 years, and then I said, done with dogs.
Why beagle?
Why beagle? I don't know, because the first one we had was a mixed something, maybe shepherd and something, but I thought he looked a little like a beagle. So we found out that there was somebody that had beagles, and we went over, and the guy had a lot of beagles, and we took this little beagle puppy with the fluffy ears, and he was cute, this little thing, and we got used to him. And then when he died, I said, well, we had a beagle, we may as well get another beagle. So we got another beagle, and this one was the runt of the litter, and we loved him too, and the kids, of course, loved him. And then when he went, passed away, no more dogs. They require too much attention, and you get too attached to them, and I don't think I could have gone through it again.
Do you remember picking Barney out?
Yes, we went to the. This woman had some beagles in our area, and we went out. He was the cutest little thing, and we picked him out. He was the runt of the litter. It was a little tiny thing, and it was Passover, so I said to her, "Now we're having people come over for Passover. What are we going to do?" So we got a playpen. And we put him in the playpen right in the room with the Seder. And he was in the playpen. He was a little puppy. And we kept him in the playpen a lot. It was probably Amy's playpen. And One day we went, I took, I don't remember who was with me, but I took, is it done? I took, I know, took Larry maybe to for a haircut and left the puppy Barney in the playpen downstairs. And when we came home, we couldn't find Barney. We couldn't get out of the house. We found out that he chewed out a hole from the playpen. And he was sitting in the middle of our recreation room, scared. He didn't know what to do. So that was the end of the playpen. By that time, we were already able to train him. And he was able to be a good dog. He was a wonderful dog. He never got into trouble, although he ate my mother-in-law's shoes. And he ate, he's the one that ate the, was he the one that ate the fur off the, almost ate Nancy's coat? He ate the fur off a furry rabbit, but he was still always a good dog. Yeah, that was Barney. I loved my Barney, but I only look at beagles now. I don't get any more.
On another note, so your family has always been pretty religious, right?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
So,
I'm gonna like hop in. I know that when our mom was growing up, you had like separate dishes for like meat and dairy, right? So like, how do you feel about that now? Like, you don't keep kosher anymore, do you?
Well, I do in a way. Mm. But since I'm the only one that eats in there, that cares, I've changed a little bit. I only buy kosher meat because I can't break that habit. But I bring other stuff in and eat it on paper plates. And I still keep kosher to an extent, but I still have two sets of dishes, and I do eat my meat on just these dishes and the dairy on other dishes, but I'm not as... We both came from kosher homes, so it was automatic that we did everything that way as our parents were alive. But after my husband passed away, after your grandpa passed away, I decided that slowly I got out of it. And anybody that eats in my house now really doesn't care. So I just eat whatever I do and I don't think about it twice. Mm-hmm. But I still use my two sets of dishes just because it's that way.
Why did you ask that? You had more?
I was just curious as to how your view on religion has changed over the time.
As far as religion, I was quite bitter. And my husband passed away because I felt that he didn't deserve it. And I didn't deserve it, and the kids didn't deserve to lose their father so young. And from some of the rabbis who were telling me things, I didn't go for what they were telling me why he died young, that he had done everything that he could in those years, and so that's why he wasn't here anymore, which I really didn't like that answer. So I sort of gave up more on religion. I went to synagogue for a while after that, and then I, in and out, I don't go very much, and I don't really have much thoughts on religion anymore. I don't really care.
You still do, like, events with, like, the local Chabad and stuff. Is it more of just, like, a community thing now?
For me, it's more of a, yeah, it's more of a, you know, if they have a luncheon for something, if they have a challah bake, if they make, I like to make the crafts, but I don't go to any of their services or any of their Shabbat dinners. And I was going to Rosh Hashanah services when I moved in at a high school, but I don't do that anymore either because I don't feel the same way that I always did. And I don't feel that I get anything of going anymore.
You could go back and change anything, would you?
Yeah, I would. I would have continued working after my husband passed, or even before he passed away. I would have worked towards a pension so that I would have money coming in now, because you don't think when you're young what it's like to need money when you get to this age and want to have to spend it, and things are more expensive now, but nothing I can do about it, so I'll do as best I could with what I have. Still enjoy myself, even though I cut down a little bit, but I still love to travel, and I'm not giving that up. as long as my body can carry me.
Good. You have 15 minutes left if you want it.
Wow.
What's something that you want us to take away from this and just, like, from you?
I want you to know that I had a good life. I had a simple life. I think your life is much more involved and much more scary from what I just see what's going on in this world today. I know it'll never be the same as I had because we didn't have any technology. And everything was, you know, we played on the street. That was a big, big thing, to play outside, to do things that, you know, were simple. You didn't need anything to do with it. And just do as best you can. And I did the best I could with what circumstances happened. I tried to get my children as well educated as they could. I know my parents always was pushing my brother and I to get college educations that they didn't have. And so my children had college educations, and they did as well as they thought they could do. And now it's your turn. And I feel I was able to bring myself back from a sad experience, and I'm living a long time as a single person, but I'm enjoying what I have, and I don't know what would have been if it was any different.
Did you really lead a sheltered childhood, do you think?
I don't know if it was sheltered, but I was thinking it was more simple. But I was very shy, so I had all my friends in the building. That was basically my group. But I was a studious person, so I wasn't really the social butterfly. I always was in the books, even when I met people who I hadn't seen in a long time. They said, "I remember you. You were always studying." And I was always studying because I wanted to do well. Unfortunately, I didn't follow through afterwards, and I became a teacher, but I limited my time teaching.
How do you feel that today's technology is affecting society?
I feel that it's detrimental to society. I remember when we lived in Texas, the way we communicated with our parents and everybody was we wrote letters. Every day I looked forward to the mailbox. There was another letter from my mother or from somebody from New York. And we were away for the first time. We didn't, you know, we never had been away from home. So to me, that was more the communication. We spoke on the phone. When you talked. Now, everything is on the phone. People sit at the same table, and they're talking to the people next to them on their phone. Where are they getting? To me, that's strange, but of course I'm old, so I don't know any better. Communication is important. Talk to talk. Voice to voice. People to people. I have more fun, like today, we sat at a table, nobody was phoning, and you know, everybody was talking, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Don't know what else.
What do you want to do next?
Next? I want to live a long time to see what the future brings. I do want to continue traveling. Maybe I can get a job. And earn some money, but otherwise I'll take whatever comes and just hope it's good things. That's what I want, you know. I don't know what else I want to do. I want to stay where I am and just continue to do what I've been doing, and I'll be very happy. As long as I can stay there and continue to drive, continue to do things, you know. I don't know what the future brings, but I'm healthy, so I hope. I hope I can still be healthy and do what I want to do.
Do you have any funny memories you can share? Funny stories?
Funny stories?
It's the funniest thing you can remember.
Funny stories. I don't know. About me?
Well, I have something. I used to tell them, how come everywhere we went, my father ran into somebody he knew?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
How did that happen?
He knew a lot of people. He did. When we went to Barbados, he met a friend. Wherever we went, on the boardwalk in Virginia Beach, he met people he knew. Don't ask me. Maybe they were all going to the same place. I have no idea. He always did. He always did. Although I recently did that too. I was walking in New York. I bumped right into a man who had been in my Optimist Club. So it's just strange. I don't know, but he did. He always met people, you know.
I think that's unique.
Could be. But he was a very friendly person, so he knew a lot of people. I think, I don't know. There were always people wherever we went. But it's true, whenever we went to an island, there was always a classmate of his. But maybe that's what they did. They all went on vacation like that from New York. I don't know.
What do you think he would think of them?
Think of who? Them? Yes. He would have loved to know you. That would have been his glory. He would have, you know, he would be so happy. He'd have the music. He had a saxophone. He would have come down and played with his saxophone with you. Would have played with your drums. He played the piano. Music was his thing, the photography. When we went on vacations with cameras. He almost fell off the cliff in Quebec because he went all the way out on the water with this big camera. That was his thing. He would have thought great of you. That it would have been his proudest moment, like I am. But I enjoyed it alone. I've gone to the cemetery and told him things about you. I talked to him. It's right near. The good thing is he's right near. So that's, you know, you have to live, you know. I didn't think I'd live a year after he died. Now it's 26 years. Time just goes. I mean, look, you're old kids. And I watched you grow up. And even though I wasn't there all the time, I would have liked to have been, that you were where I am or I was where you were, but I tried to celebrate every occasion that I could possibly come for. Came for grandparents' days. I came for birthdays sometimes, and your birthdays were close in months. Came for both. And I came for Halloween. I came for whenever I was able to come, but it wasn't the same. And that's what life brings. I hope you have a long life, both of you, like I've had, and enjoy every bit of it. No matter how it works. Questions?
Yeah. 7 minutes. Do you have any questions for either for each of them?
No. I think they're getting emotional just from the from what I'm saying. Because we probably never got into this, or I don't think it's so deep. But that's my feelings.
Do you have anything you want to say?
I know Adam's more sensitive. He always was.
I just want to say this really means a lot to me, and I'm glad we got to have this conversation.
Maybe you want to get a copy of it and keep it.
That's the point. That's the point.
I have pictures in my house for you guys, both of you. I'll tell you now, but you're not going to get it until they clean up my house. And I have a booklet for each of you that's from the day you were born. It's called, each one is called Grandma and Me. There's one for you, and there's one for you. And they both have every picture that I have with each of you that I took from the times when I was there. If it was a silly birthday cap on the head for my birthdays, because I always went for my birthdays, or if it was whatever it was, that's what it is. It's there in a little book, and Larry knows where they are. That's waiting till you remember your grandma. I don't know what else I can tell you.
Closing words, it's time for saying thank you for doing this type stuff or whatever.
Thank you for sharing your life.
Thank you so much. I love you.
I love you too. I love you both. You're the only grandchildren I have, and I'll have. Maybe I'll be lucky and have some great grandchildren like some of my friends have. If I live long enough. My mother had 5. And when she died, somebody who she had worked for, their father, saw her in the obituary and sent a letter, asked the New York Times to send a letter to my brother, which told of how her father had always This woman's father had always upheld my mother as an example to his daughters, that if they would only be like my mother had been, the worker who worked until the day she gave birth to her first child, and how wonderful she was, that they would be all right. So maybe I'll be like that someday.
Well, that's also a little remembered. Much.
Well, it's a little much. For what?
To work till the day you give birth.
Well, she did, because she didn't know. This girl didn't know if it was me or my brother. That was the first child.
I'm just saying, it's pushing it a little much.
Well, that's what she said. Is I have the letter in the house.
I believe it.
Yeah. So that's all I can say. She worked from the time she was 14, my mother, until she was 87.
Wow.
With a few little intermissions when we were kids. She believed work was all you had. She wasn't a social person. She was very different, very European-minded. I'm not. I'm sort of social, but quiet.
Anything else?
No.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So long.